You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mottis.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to a very special edition of the Locked On Nuggets podcast, a weekend edition. Don't usually do these on Saturday night games, but I thought this one called for it. Special occasion, special win, special moment. Wanted to talk to you guys about this one because I just thought it was a really, really fun night at Pepsi Center. Really, one of those games that I think we'll remember all year. You know, sometimes these blend together, but for a number of reasons, this one really stood out from the rest of the crowd. Win over the San Antonio Spurs, and Jokic gets a third triple-double. So many different things happen in this game. I almost don't know where to start, but where I'm going to start is with, this was 2000's night. It was a Legends night, and you knew something right off the bat. You knew it was going to be something special tonight because Allen Iverson was in the building, Marcus Camby, Kenyon Martin. And I think, you know, I always talk about this. I'm 34 years old. I miss the 80s. The 90s weren't that great, and the good parts of the 90s were before my time. Really, I identify with the 2000s era. I'm the same age as Carmelo Anthony. Really started loving the Nuggets and following as closely as I do now, you know, in that era. So for me to kind of get to meet these guys was it was really something special. And I just wanted to share a little bit of that moment. First, you know, it's funny. Iverson arrived late. He was supposed to sign some autographs, and he didn't arrive till like right before tip off. Fortunately, with just enough time to talk to the media and taking you behind the scenes a little bit. You know, there's certain guys that just have a presence. You know, everybody says that MJ was the ultimate. This guy, like when he walked in a room, is just no matter how many famous people were in a room, when MJ walked in, you know, the whole room turned to look to him. Well, Iverson kind of had that today. This was my first time ever seeing him. You know, as a reporter, as a blogger, whatever you want to say. So getting a peek behind the curtain and seeing him walk in the door, and everybody had kind of been talking about, is he going to show? Is he not going to show? He was, you know, basically an hour late from when everybody expected him. So it was like, oh my God, he's going to no show. He shows up wearing sweatpants. You know, Kenyon and Marcus Camby put on their nicest suits and dressed to the tees. Iverson, a man after my own heart. I hate wearing suits. I always joke with people about this. I don't like to dress up. I'm a jeans and like a t-shirt kind of guy. Iverson shows up in sweats, and it was like all of Pepsi Center got quiet and like started, you know, mumbling to each other as he walks in, because it's just there's something about him, I think, that everybody is just kind of drawn to. Got to hear from him, and it was really great. Put the entire video, the unedited interviews with all three players on Denver on the Facebook account for DenverStiffs.com. I did it live. I always say I open the show with the same thing every time I open a show. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And the reason I say that is not for my own ego, so I can tell people, oh, we have X amount of Twitter followers or Facebook or whatever. Sometimes you can only share certain types of content on different platforms, whether it's Instagram Live doing the mailbags, whatever. With Facebook Live has that great feature where you're allowed to, you know, I could take a video live like that and have people interact. So go check it out, because it was really great. Great hearing Iverson talk about some of the current Nuggets, talk about his time here and what it meant. Kenyon Martin continued to roast George Karl, which I thought was funny. You know, George Karl, I read his book, Furious George, and he said a lot of things in that book that I think burned his, you know, it was like a tell-all book. And I think in George's mind, he was, you know, given all the juicy dirt. But really what I think is he went really personal. And of all the people he went after in that book, I thought Kenyon Martin was the most unfair. I don't know Kenyon Martin. I don't know what kind of person he is or this or that. But George Karl in his book really went after him and, you know, talked about how, I mean, personal things about, oh, psychologically he was damaged because he didn't grow up with a father and his skin color wasn't dark enough. I mean, he had some really weird things he said about Kenyon in that, but really, really weird books. And they, oh, he's a fake tough guy because of all these psychological issues. I mean, just completely off the wall. So I totally get why Kenyon Martin has not let this go. I think on the outside looking in, you might say, oh man, Kenyon needs to get over it or whatever. If you read the book and you see what he says about him, of all the players, he talks a lot of trash about J.R. Smith and even Iverson and Melo. But it was really more basketball type stuff, even though I think it was like unnecessary barbs. With Kenyon, it was like personal. And so for Kenyon, he's clearly throwing it just as you know, Kenyon can talk with the best of them. And he really just did not hesitate to go all in on George Karl, both on the broadcast as he was getting interviewed by Scott Hastings and Chris Marlowe. He threw a nice little zinger in there at George Karl. And in the interview I had with him, he just he threw about five or six different little barbs at him, which I thought was pretty funny. And he seemed to think it was funny too. It's almost like he was like relishing in those moments. So check those out. Go to DenverStiffs.com and check those out. Into the game, because as great as 2000's night was, the game I think was even better. And it was cool, I gotta say, it was really a cool moment for me seeing Iverson and Marcus Camby and Kenyon Martin sitting courtside, like basically right at half court, courtside, watching this game happen. And I kept looking at them and looking at them, you know, the players would do something cool, you know, Jokic would make a great pass, and I'd go to look to them for their reaction. It was just kind of cool all night, because you know, I'm a guy that enjoys the Denver Nuggets, you know, the Denver Nuggets history, but also just this kind of like, it's cool seeing Alex English, for example, talking about the current Nuggets. It just, it ties together all the different eras. And tonight was one of those where it was like, you know, these legends hovering over the game, and you kind of get the sense of this like permanence to something as silly as the game of basketball, which I just thought was absolutely fantastic. So it was cool to kind of see them sitting courtside. The game was, aside from being, you know, the Nuggets winning and all the great stuff I'm going to get to, this was just a really, really fun game. This was basketball the way I enjoy it. You know, the Spurs play the quote-unquote beautiful game, the passing game where everybody touches the ball and everybody's kind of working together on a string. Well, the Nuggets play that same style. And at this point, with the Spurs kind of in a lull or you know, not in a great spot, I guess, you know, they've had better days and Kawhi not there. I think Denver actually is better at the beautiful game than they are. And tonight, and over the last, you know, 13 games, this kind of streak, this block that we keep talking about just keeps growing as the Nuggets continue to play great basketball. Now, 13-game block, it just is a beautiful game by Denver. And between San Antonio and Denver, both the style of play, I thought, just made for a fantastic game to watch. 33 assists for Denver, 28 for San Antonio. Furious pace. One of the things that I thought Denver did a great job of, and Nikola Jokic in particular, is he really pushed the pace at every opportunity. You know, the Spurs were scoring a lot, but the Nuggets made it like a very conscious effort to wear them out, and I think they did down the stretch. Jokic in particular, you know, I've talked in the past about how his numbers on back-to-backs are not nearly as good as every other, you know, if he gets rest, and the more rest he gets, the better he looks. Well, he just had a week off, and he looked like a guy that had a week off. This is why I think Jokic is one really good summer away from being an MVP, a true MVP candidate, and like an easy shoe-in all-star. He might be, I mean, already he's there, I think, on most nights. But when he was rested, I just think he can have games like the one that he had tonight every single night. And over the summer, you know, I think if he can add some more strength in his core and his legs and maybe drop a little bit excess weight, I think he's going to be able to play like with this pep in his step. He had some pep in his step tonight. He was fast. I know this is going to sound crazy. Jokic was fast tonight. He's faster than usual. He's beating people off the dribble and getting to the rim, and not just people. You know, LaMarcus Aldridge, a pretty mobile big guy. And just an absolutely brilliant game from him. But I thought he ran the court really well and made a conscious effort to kind of wear Pau Gasol out, wear LaMarcus out, just with transition running. And it wasn't leading to wide open layups, but it was just forcing those guys to get up and down the court really, really fast for 48 minutes. And the ball was popping right from the start. I mean, this Nuggets offense, the Nuggets, I could even tell at practice the last 2 days, the Nuggets' confidence level right now is just so high. And I'm going to talk about this a lot later on. But in that first quarter, the ball was popping, but it wasn't popping in this like, it was popping in this like very loose and lighthearted way where you could just tell the team is in their groove. They're in their moment right now. The defense was bad, and for the entire first half, I thought it tightened up in the second half. But we've kind of become accustomed to this running teams off the off of the court. So Jokic gets out to a good start. Wilson Chandler gets out to a phenomenal start. 3 3-pointers in the first quarter. Another one early on in the fourth. Something has happened with him that I don't know over the last, you know, 5 or 6 games, really since the deadline. And Michael Malone talked about this. He's a completely different player. And he's another guy that I think, you know, Wilson's a super quiet guy. I think if you didn't know him, and I don't know him, but I mean, if you weren't ever around him, you might say he's morose because he can be very expressionless. He can almost come across as sad at times. I thought he's been really like upbeat and just quite frankly, friendlier and happier over the last couple weeks. And you see that in his game too. He shot the ball with confidence tonight. He even stepped into a few shots that you think, okay, man, you only shoot that if you're feeling it. And he knocked him down. So you're like, okay, he's feeling it. And those 3-pointers in the first quarter were just, they were huge. They really helped the Denver stay in the game, but they just kind of gave some extra punch. So he's playing incredibly right now. And I do wonder if Malone sticking with him gave him a vote of confidence, because no, Plumlee's back. The Nuggets have been getting off to such hot starts, and but the defense hasn't been there. And I thought, okay, well, Plumlee, you know, still injured, so maybe it's part of it was just, well, we're going to take it easy with him. But I thought it was a big vote of confidence to stick with Wilson, and then he rewarded Malone by coming out and just playing so brilliantly in this game. He scored early. He defended and rebounded. And I'll say this about Wilson. I've thought all year, one of the reasons people have said, you know, I've heard the Wilson haters for years, and I've been a big Wilson Chandler fan and big supporter, because I always say there's three things you can be on the court. You can be a positive, like you're actively impacting the game in a positive way. You can actively impact the game in a negative way, or you could be neutral, or, you know, if you're somewhere right in between and you're not really doing things one way or the other. Well, I thought when Wilson was bad, he was the middle one. He was not being actively bad. He just wasn't contributing in good ways, but he did a lot of things that I think, you know, this is going to sound pompous, the untrained eye maybe doesn't catch. And what I mean by that is, you know, his timing on his screens on the weak side is really good. He spaces the floor really, really well. And, you know, different things like that. And so even though he wasn't scoring and he was passing up shots a lot, I mean, there was a lot of opportunities to score in the first, like, several months of the season that he just didn't take. And he would miss shots when he, you know, shots at the rim and different things. But I thought that he did a lot of the other stuff that went unnoticed and made, you know, for some great lineups. Well, now he's shooting and playing with confidence, and I just feel like it all comes together for him, and he just looks awesome. I hope it continues. I think Malone's going to have, no matter what, you know, if he sticks with Wilson at the four, while even though Plumlee is back, at some point Paul Millsap is going to come back and he is going to be the starting power forward. So I hope that through all of the different changes that are coming the Nuggets' way, that Wilson can continue to play the way that he has over the last couple games, because when he does, the Nuggets just go to a whole other level. Now, the Nuggets went super small rather than going to Mason Plumlee. So Jokic played. Malone actually started with stuck with his starting five for like 7 or 8 minutes, which is unusual. I think he usually goes to his first sub off the bench around the 6-minute mark, unless I'm mistaken. Pretty sure he didn't go to his first sub until about like 4 minutes left in the first quarter, maybe 3 minutes left. And his first sub was to put he put Lyles in at center. He took Jokic out and did not put Mason in. Mason was riding the exercise bike early to kind of stay loose. And I wondered early on, well, maybe he's just not going to play. But instead, he just went small. And that's such a suicide lineup. It's such a when you don't have a real big in there, you can get killed on the boards, you can get killed inside, but you can kind of out quick teams. And the Nuggets did a great job of it. That lineup held the door and played well in their minutes. I had one other note here about Wilson that I really wanted to share. The play that I thought most epitomizes the recent stretch that he has is actually in the third quarter, I believe, or maybe fourth. He got an offensive rebound. Actually, this was second quarter. He gets an offensive rebound. The clock is winding out. He goes up for a shot and gets blocked, catches the blocked shot, and goes right back up on a fall away and knocks it in. And the reason that play stands out to me is because you know, it's not like when a guy's on fire and he's just like hitting certain types of shots. That play took so much focus, so much confidence, because you get your shot blocked. I think your natural instinct is to kind of be like, oh, crap. But he just like it like didn't faze him. He got the ball. He knew what he had to do. He put it up and knocked the shot down. And it was a huge possession because the Spurs had played great defense up until that point. And he gets a it's always a kick in the groin when a team gets a bucket at the buzzer after you played great defense for 24 seconds. So that was a huge play, and I thought it epitomizes what he's where he's at right now, just focused and confident. Lyle's been attacking the rim so hard this season, and there's some, you know, I didn't really know his game that well, but I didn't think he was a guy that he's not like super athletic. He's really tall and he's pretty strong. But I didn't think he had like great hops. Well, he attacks the basket like a guy. He attacks it like Russell Westbrook sometimes, like a guy that has a 40-inch vertical, and I love that about him. It's such a great skill to put pressure on the defense like that. It draws fouls. I think it makes the defense react differently. So just a really great way to attack. I thought Devin Harris was really bad in this game. This was probably his worst game in a Nuggets uniform on both ends of the court. He had a couple defensive possessions that were real head scratchers, and then he just missed everything he put up tonight. So if there was one like gray cloud on a silver lining, it would be Devin Harris's play. 1-for-7 from the field, 0-for-6 from the three-point line, which he had a couple really, really great looks. Finished with just 3 points, 5 fouls, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Now, he did have a couple big plays in the fourth quarter that were pretty big. So he did kind of bounce back when it, you know, I guess you could say when it matters. But I thought he was for the most part pretty off tonight. Jokic, we're going to fast forward all the way to the fourth quarter, cause I have some like post game stuff I wanted to talk about, but Jokic got 5 of his 6 fouls in the fourth quarter. And I thought that the refs completely lost control of this game. Part of what makes this game so interesting was not that they beat the Spurs, a really good team, that they won coming out of the All-Star break when you were worried, did they lose momentum? You know, did they had all this momentum going into the All-Star break, but do they still have it coming out? All of those things are true, but what I thought was even more important about this game was the Nuggets had so much going right. It looked like they had pulled away. I think they went up by like 9 points with a chance to go up 10, and then the foul started coming. And the weird calls started coming. And it all snowballed on the Nuggets so fast. It was like 11-1 run in like a minute or something like that, with technical fouls and all kinds of crazy stuff in a row. And, you know, first of all, the Spurs, I mean, they just seem to get the benefit of the officials just so often. It's just who they are. They've earned it. They've been the greatest team in the NBA for 20 years, if you look at the entire body of work. They've been so consistently great. They're so well-respected in the style that they play. And the Nuggets are an up-and-coming team. At some point, Michael Malone might have to give the "they are not going to rook us" speech. If you don't know this speech, David Fizdale, when he's coaching Memphis in the playoffs last year, used this, you know, I know that he was going up against Popovich, and he's like, oh, I know that I'm a rookie coach and he's one of the greatest, and I know they have all these players and we don't have an all-star, but they are not going to rook us. And it was just one of the great coach speeches, I think, of all time. Malone kind of needs one of those because he kind of went at it today in the postgame. He stood up for Nikola Jokic, I think, more than I have heard him in maybe this entire season. You know, we've heard some big time. We've heard Malone go out of his way for certain players on the roster, Mason Plumlee in particular, Gary Harris, Jamal Murray. And last year we heard him go, you know, kind of come to Jokic's corner and sing his praises. But I felt like he hasn't as much this year. Well, he did today post game and said that, you know, I'll get to some of the comments he had after the game, but really came to his defense. But he might have to come to the entire team's defense early in a playoff series and talk about how, and just draw attention to the fact that the Nuggets do not get a lot of respect from the officials. The Nuggets are going to have to earn that respect through consistently great play and fundamental play. But at the moment, they're going to have to fight for that and draw some attention to it. So the Nuggets, everything starts going against them. There were some good plays sprinkled in there, even by Nikola Jokic. He had some phenomenal passes in the fourth, made some tough shots, but he did end up picking up 5 out of his 6 fouls in the fourth quarter alone, and he goes to the bench. And one of the things that was so great about this game was I was certain that the Nuggets were going to lose this game when the game got tied and all these fouls started coming in. I just thought, man, you know, and you're kind of frustrated. The referees really handed this one. To tell you how lopsided it was, Spurs fans, you know, I always go on Reddit to kind of just kind of take the temperature of fans and see what people are talking about. Spurs fans were talking about how this game was rigged in their favor and they still lost. That was kind of the narrative that they walked away with, was the refs tried to hand us a win and we still couldn't get it, which, you know, I don't like to complain about the refs. I almost hardly ever do it, but tonight I thought was, even with some of the slow-mo stuff that we saw, it became even more obvious how egregious some of the calls were, so much so that Spurs fans were took notice of it, and Denver still overcame it. And I think it's such an important, I'm almost glad it happened this way, because it's such an important milestone for Denver. And one thing I will say is, players like Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, even Wilson Chandler, Mason Plumlee, Will Barton, when the going started getting tough, those guys, like, you could see it in their eyes that they were kind of like, okay, this is the, it was like they recognized the challenge that approached them. It was no longer, okay, we have to beat this great Spurs team. It was, okay, we're going to have to overcome a bunch of bad calls and momentum going against us and all this stuff. And it was almost like, they were aware of the situation, and rather than getting frustrated, they just were like, okay, one more thing we're going to have to overcome. And it was great, because that's what separates them this year from last year. And as they go down the stretch of, you know, 23 games left, and everybody's in the Western Conference is tied for the same record trying to make the playoffs, this is what's going to separate their outcome this year from their outcome last year. And it was just awesome to see. So now down the stretch, I thought Jamal Murray, the Nuggets went to the pick and roll between Murray and Jokic a bunch before Jokic fouled out. And I thought Murray just did such a great job of making pocket passes in the pick and roll. He's been so good at this over the last month, really since the Nuggets have gone to this free-flowing style of offense, that it makes me wonder why I questioned it at the start of the year. If you remember, for the first several months of the season, I thought this is one, and I still stand by it, he struggled to make the passes. Well, I think now we know that some of the deliberate actions that the Nuggets were running were taking away a lot of the just basketball skill and IQ and feel that both Jokic has and also Jamal Murray. I think we're learning that Jamal Murray is a very, very good read and react basketball player. When he's left to his own devices, he's very good at making great decisions. And in the pick and roll in the fourth quarter, he just did such a good job of getting the ball to Jokic, drawing the defense away in the pick and roll. You know, Gasol would show, or Aldridge would show, Patty Mills would chase over the top, and then he would drop the ball off to Jokic, who would get, you know, have space to operate. And they did it so much in that fourth quarter that, like I said, it makes me wonder how I question that he didn't do it in the early on in the season, because he's clearly very, very good at it. Another thing that stands out, the Nuggets defense, while bad in, you know, overall throughout the game, really, I thought it was another game where it was better in the second half. The offense maintained its same pace, but in the second half it improved, and especially in the fourth quarter, the intensity ratcheted up quite a bit. And I have to give a huge shout-out to Mason Plumlee tonight. Returned, you know, I know that he has taken the brunt of fan criticism this year. You know, whenever things would go wrong, he would be the guy that would get blamed. And I think part of the reason this last episode I recorded, I talked about how I'm not as afraid of the Jokic-Plumlee lineup as I was early in the season. And a lot of that is because I think there's more important things than the lineup combination. I think Jokic can excel with any lineup combination. The key is you have to play through him. You have to keep the spacing. And I thought Plumlee, especially in the first half, did not do a great job of spacing the floor, quite frankly. He ducked in a few times when I really thought it stalled things, and he tried to post up. And you know, there was that famous play, I think the very first possession of Jokic Plumlee tonight, where the Plumlee and Jokic ran like two screen and rolls together, and Jokic kind of curled around him, and you're like, okay, what's going on here, guys? This is not good offense. So there's still room for improvement. I still think that Plumlee is going to be on offense a much lower usage player. But defensively, especially in that fourth quarter, he really was the reason, or one of the main reasons, that the Nuggets won. I thought he made some incredible plays. Block shot on Aldridge, who, when Aldridge had things going, he just was physical. He got some foul calls in part because of being too physical, and even though I think it was tic-tac, it's, you know, towing the line. He just made some really, really huge plays, and he deserves to be called out for it, especially after seeing the Nuggets go on a run after he went down. It's great to see him come in and fit right in, and the Nuggets offense continue to hum even with him on the court. Gary Harris wanted the ball. He wanted the shot with 1 minute to go. So the Nuggets are up one. The crowd, by the way, tonight was awesome. Maybe the best crowd of the entire season. Certainly a top three or four one, but this was like a top three or four game of the year. So there was reason for them to be so excited. But the crowd's going crazy. It's loud as hell in there. It's a nail biter of a game. And Gary Harris got this look in his eye. Like, he passed it to Wilson and then called for it right back just to kind of reset himself. Like, no, 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 this is my moment and I've got it. And he just made a great play. He got a switch onto LaMarcus Aldridge. That's why he kind of reset. A lot of times when you get a big switched out onto you to kind of start your dribble over, you give the ball up and get it right back so that you have your, like, jab step. Well, he goes, makes a great – kind of loses the ball, recovers it, makes a great move, step back jumper, and just nails it. Watching it live, I remember thinking, like, as it's happening, like, he's going to make this, because he just had that look in his eye of like, oh no, I know exactly where I'm going to get to my spot and I'm going to knock down this shot. And, you know, maybe that game winner against Oklahoma City opened up something in Gary Harris. So this new confidence to kind of create his handle. First of all, I thought was really good in this game. There's a couple drives he had that was just like, oh man, what a nice tight handle he used to get to make a move there. And he nails that shot, and the crowd went nuts. That's when they went up three with a minute to go. And, you know, the difference between being up one and and being up three is just huge in that moment. It really upped the Nuggets' odds of winning the game, and the crowd just went absolutely crazy. And then the last play of the game, so the Nuggets come down, get a stop. They're up three with the ball, but there's enough time for the Spurs to get the ball back. Jamal Murray, another great read in the pick and roll, great timing in the pick and roll. He was very patient. Just as he had done the entire fourth quarter, he draws the defense over to the right side of the court, throws the nice pass to the roll man, which was Mason Plumlee. And Mason Plumlee, maybe feeling the adrenaline of the crowd and just the intensity of it, skies for a left-handed dunk. Not even a right-handed dunk, but a left-handed dunk to seal the game. And it was just really a perfect way to win for this game to end. It was a team win. Nikola Jokic gets his third straight triple-double, and he was brilliant. He was the best player on the court tonight. But it was still just a solid, as great as he was, this was a team effort, and it really felt like something special. So the Nuggets get a four-game winning streak, and the first four-game winning streak of the year. They've had like four or five three-game winning streaks, but they hadn't strung together four games. They get that, and that's some nice momentum heading into the Houston game. Houston's the one team. Darrell Arthur was on the BSN podcast a couple days ago, and he mentioned it was funny to hear a player admit it, but he was like, yeah, Houston's the one team that has our number. This is a great test because the Nuggets, now that they get this one, it almost takes a little bit of pressure off. If they would have lost this one, then you go into Houston and you're like, oh God, what if they get a two-game losing streak? And with how tight things are, this could be bad. Now it takes, I think, a little bit of the pressure off because going 1-1 against the Spurs in Houston wouldn't be the end of the world. But at the same time, I'm curious to see how they come out and play because their confidence, I think, is much higher than it has been recently, and they just have more momentum than I think at any point in the season. So I'm curious to see. Popovich, after the game, had some high praise for the Nuggets. Somebody asked him if they were an up-and-coming team, and he kind of laughed and was like, oh, yeah. And he was effusive in his praise that not only are the Nuggets incredibly talented, but they play the right way. He likes the style that they play. One, pushing the tempo, which he referred to, you know, when you're in Denver, that's the way you should play. But also just, you know, smart and together. And he kept saying, you know, he mentioned that they play together. And it was cool hearing that from Pop because, you know, those are the types of compliments that to Pop mean something. And that was really cool. Malone, after the game, I referenced him sticking up for Jokic. He said that he should be an MVP candidate. He went out of his way to say that he's not just one of the good young players. He thinks he's one of the best players, overall players in the NBA. And I love to hear him say that because I've been saying it for a long time. And I know, you know, from covering the league for so long, I know that coaches have to be – they have to be saying several things at the same time a lot of times. And, you know, I heard people complain when he said Gary Harris is the MVP of this team this season or whatever, and people got upset. Paul Millsap's our best player, whatever. A lot of times, Malone's not just saying what he believes. he's saying what sometimes he is, and maybe he does believe that. I'm not trying to say that he's lying, but a lot of times he's also trying to build up guys that he feels need it. And I'll tell you one thing, Jokic doesn't need it. I mean, the guy is a very happy-go-lucky guy, and I don't think he needs, public praise. And I don't think Gary Harris and Paul Millsap do either, but I think Malone sometimes just wants to spread out some of the accolades, and I think it's important to. This is a team that has really grown together, and they no longer, last year I thought it was Jokic and a bunch of role players, and I talked about, I think Gary Harris is great, but outside of Nikola Jokic, how would he be? Well, I no longer believe that, and I think it was true, by the way, of last year. I stand by that. And, Gallo, Gary Harris, these guys were really, really good players, Wilson Chandler, but I thought Jokic was just so far above everybody else and was what augmented everyone. I still think that is true, that Jokic is the special talent. But, I no longer, even tonight was a perfect example. Jokic goes out of the game. It's a tight game. It wasn't like, oh, God, they just lost their best player and now they have no chance. Now they have a chance even without Jokic. They have so much talent on this roster. Gary Harris has become a legitimate star caliber player. Jamal Murray is quickly becoming that caliber player as well. Even though he had a bit of an off night shooting, he did a lot of other things to contribute. Wilson Chandler, stepping up. Mason Plumlee making some huge plays. Will Barton making some big plays. This team just has so many players, and there's so much talent on this roster. And it's as much as I think Jokic is the team's best player, there's now just the guys surrounding him are actually so awesome. And I think that's part of why Jokic's numbers have looked so great over the last bit. It's funny, he's had three straight triple-doubles. He's averaging a triple-double for the month of February. He's actually 0.2 assists shy, so he's like one total assist shy of averaging a triple-double. And but, part of that is because he has so many great teammates that it's like giving Peyton Manning elite tight end, wide receiver, and offensive line. Of course, Peyton Manning is a phenomenal quarterback, but you give him some elite tools to work with and he's going to look even more elite. So that's what I think is going on with Jokic right now. He is an incredible basketball player, and he's getting to play alongside a bunch of other incredible basketball players who also happen to fit and play the same style as him, and it's awesome. And I wanted to end, the reason I recorded a show tonight rather than just wait till Monday or whatever was because I feel like this is a really, really neat moment for the Nuggets right now. And I was kind of reflecting on this in the parking lot. It's freezing cold, and I'm walking out with some of the other writers, and we're talking about this. And it really dawned on me as we were walking out there, this moment that the Nuggets are in, I think Nuggets fans need to really cherish it. And it's kind of funny. Malone was talking about how the city needs to get behind this Nuggets team because he can feel something special brewing. I think all Nuggets fans that are following it as closely as I am can feel that while even the playoffs still are not certain, they're so close to really putting things together right now and becoming this just special team. And moments like right now, where the expectations are really low for Denver. I mean, the Nuggets, their goal is to make the playoffs, right? And maybe internally they have higher aspirations or whatever. But right now I think the city, the NBA at large, expects them to make the playoffs but nothing more. And that low pressure, the team is just in such an interesting vibe right now. There's such a fun vibe around them. It just seems, I've been inside locker room now for four seasons in some capacity. And this is just such a different season than any before by leaps and bounds. And I know it was after a win and spirits were high and it's a winning streak and all that stuff. But there's just so much positivity around this team right now. And This type of stuff can't last. I think the Nuggets are going to continue to get better for years and years, but I think this is like, it's such a fun sort of innocent moment, if you will. And there's going to be trades, and a player we really, really like is not going to end up being on this team in 2-3 years or whatever. But right now, that's all the more reason to kind of enjoy this moment that we're in right now with a young team starting to realize who they are, starting to put it all together. This is the reason I think we all enjoy sports, is for moments like this. And tonight, that's why I wanted to record a show tonight, was to kind of share that all with you. Special night for 2000s night, but also a special night because this felt like a team with endless potential starting to figure out who they are. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. I'll be back again following the next game against the Houston Rockets, which will be a huge test. Maybe the Nuggets will surprise all of us and even get the Rockets here at home. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see everybody next time.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.